Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Ministers may sign off on a sovereign wealth fund at Cabinet today in a bid to manage the huge surpluses expected in the public finances over the next few years. It's understood strict criteria will be applied around what the money can be used for. Paying down the country's debt and supporting future pensions are likely to be included. Now, it is expected to draw on the experience of similar funds which have been set up internationally, including in Norway, Australia and in Japan. And joining me now to talk us through the Norwegian experience is Richard Milne, Nordic and Baltic correspondent at the Financial Times. Good morning, Richard.
Yeah, morning.
Thank you very much for joining us on this. So, the staggering wealth of Norway's fund, its wealth fund, it can't be overestimated. It's worth 1.4 trillion. Now, this was established in the 1990s, wasn't it, to invest the surplus profits from the country's oil and gas reserves. It is the world's largest sovereign fund, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's an extraordinary. It owns 1.5% on average of every single company that's listed on the stock market in the world. So 1.5% of every Irish company, 1.5% of every American company. It's staggering. But when, as you point out, it was set up in the 90s, but they didn't really expect any money to go into it. They certainly never, ever expected it would get this big.
Mm-hmm. And it is huge, as I say, 1.4 trillion. So how is that money used and what rules are in place around the spending of it?
Yeah, so the government of the day is allowed to use a percentage of the fund. That was originally 4%. It's now down to 3%. That's a bit like spending the interest on your bank account. It's meant to mean that the sum of money itself doesn't go down. That's pretty well. In Norway, actually, if I had to criticize something, I would say the use of the money has been rather unimaginative. It's just been sort of absorbed into the general country's budget. It actually represents a quarter of the budget now. So Norway would have a huge deficit if it wasn't using the oil fund money. Mm-hmm. And so what it's really led to is a kind of swelling of the state, whereas I think maybe an approach like Ireland is looking at, okay, more concentrated, might work better.
So what would Norway look like, the Norwegian economy look like, if it didn't have this money?
Extremely different. It would be poor. It would, frankly, its state finances, if it was spending the amount it was, would look worse than Greece when it was in its trouble. Have a deficit of over 10%. Norway set it up to avoid what's called Dutch disease. That's the idea that you discover oil and gas, and then it sort of corrupts your economy. You get a lot of corruption, and it doesn't filter down to normal people. Now, it succeeded on that. It may have ended up with a kind of Norwegian disease where it's just a very rich society, a very bloated state. And I think, you know, that you could look at, if you were looking at Norway, that you'd be wanting to avoid some of those issues.
So tell us why then you say that what it seems like the Irish government is planning to do, Richard, is more appealing.
Well, I mean, standing right back, I think just the idea of setting up a sovereign wealth fund is pretty unusual politically. Most politicians want to spend the money they've got. So it should be applauded. And I think that is, today in Ireland or elsewhere, something to be applauded. I think what's interesting is that, as you pointed out in the news, they're looking at using this to pay off the debt or to look at specifically funding pensions. I think having some kind of future spending idea for it, maybe to develop green industry or whatever, something that will help the country in the long term. Mm-hmm. And obviously Ireland, like many European countries, is going to face huge demographic problems.
And how, Richard, would you say this fund, knowing that it is there, impacts how Norwegians live and work and what they expect from the state?
Well, every Norwegian is a millionaire, at least in terms of krona. That's about 10 to the euro. So, you know, it's always there in your mind that it's rather rich. I think Norway has generally become, you know, a rich country, you know, one with problems that every other country would like to have. But I think, you know, day to day, most people probably don't think too much of it. But I'd argue it's actually the most important institution in the country, really. It's so powerful in ways that most Norwegians can't grasp.
And has it led to a swelling of the state?
It has led to a huge swelling of the state, yes. So it hasn't sort of corrupted Norway in the sort of first level, but it has led at a far more jobs, far bigger state maybe than otherwise would be justified. But you know, it has led to making the country richer as well. So it, again, as I say, I think most countries in the world would like to have sort of Norway's problems than the other way around.
And if we look at what was reported about this fund that we expect is going to be set up here, it'll be used to inject more cash into infrastructure spending in Ireland, to future-proof public finances, looking ahead, as you say, to what's going to happen with requirements for pensions, also to pay down debt. Now, in Norway, there are very high debt rates. Are there conversations around whether the fund in Norway should be used to pay down that debt?
Well, so there's two separate things, right? The Norwegians themselves have very high debt rates, you know, huge mortgages, etc. Norway as a country itself doesn't. It stops Norway getting into more debt than it would have done, and it enables it to run very nice public finances, much better than it would have been able to otherwise. There's no real discussion on exactly what the money should be used. It's just injected every year into the budget. And when things are harder, like in coronavirus pandemic, then they just use a bit more. And that's well established. So that is a very helpful device when you have swings in the economy.
There's another country which provides us with an example of getting a massive oil windfall gain from the North Sea, and that's Britain. But there was no wealth fund established there, Richard. Can you take us through why that was the case, and do you believe they squandered an opportunity?
Britain absolutely squandered an opportunity. Every single article I write about the Norwegian fund, all the comments underneath are either from Brits or particularly Scottish people saying, why didn't we have one? And it was down to Thatcher. She used the money, just absorbed that straight into the government budget without having a fund. And I think the Scottish nationalists, now they've got a sort of dwindling oil industry, kind of look wistfully at Norway and think, well, maybe we could have owned 1.5% of the world's companies as well. So definitely a missed opportunity. And I do think it is a sort of far-sighted way of ensuring that excess money you're earning today can be used for future generations. I think it's a very interesting tool to look at. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. There are a lot of obstacles. But the idea of it, I think, is a good one.
Yeah, even with our very high levels of debt here, would you say, standing at around 226 billion euro at the end of last year?
Well, I think Ireland has a bit of a dilemma, doesn't it? On the one hand, has this sort of almost embarrassment of riches with the tax receipts, and then the other hand, as you say, with the housing crisis, with debt, you know, there's a number of things that it could be spent on. I'm no expert on the Irish economy or politics.
Yeah.
I think that's something that you'll have to sort out. But it's clear that there's a balancing act there, and I think it's unusual that a government doesn't just decide to throw money at the problems, in a sense. Now, whether they take the right choices then, that's for time to see.
So do you believe, looking at it today and knowing what you do about the Norwegian example, and we mentioned Britain as well, that we should be sceptical or hopeful about the prospect of matching in some way what Norway has accomplished?
Well, I think you should. skeptical that you get to Norway's size, because this was kind of incredible. And also Norway, you know, I mean, it just has oil and gas money flowing in every day, even now. You know, if in Ireland you're thinking just that these corporate tax receipts are a kind of windfall for a few years, then that enables you to set up a decent fund, but it's not going to rival Norway's. But maybe if these windfall tax receipts continue year after year, then it will turn out to be far-sighted. So, a mixture of hopeful and sceptical.
But you can see that it is a tricky political manoeuvre when there are so many problems. I know you're not an expert on the Irish economy, but I'm sure you're aware that we have a housing crisis here. We've problems in our health service too. It is a difficult one, difficult waters to navigate for politicians.
It absolutely is. And I don't think it gets any easier when you get the fund as well, because it starts, you know, it's there sort of burning a hole in your pocket. I mean, most people will know if you've got a sort of 50 euro note, that burns a hole in your pocket. If you've got a sort of $1.4 trillion, you know, in Norway, I think the feeling is it can solve any problem. And even that sum of money, it really can't. You know, it is, if you spend too much of it, you can really get rid of it quite quickly if you want. So it's an ongoing dilemma for politicians for years and decades to come.
Richard, great to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time today. That's Richard Milne, Nordic and Baltic correspondent at the Financial Times.